Well, as you know, I follow the lectionary for the most part, looking for something that holds them all together or whatever else the case might be. And there are only two sort of groups of scripture, if you will, that have ever really tempted me to just ditch the lectionary for a period of time. One is the Sermon on the Mount, which is a fascinating thing to work through, either on your own, which I'd strongly recommend, or in a group through preaching or whatever else. And the other is the seven I Am statements that Jesus makes in John. And I was looking through the rest of the year, the church year B, the Pentecost section, to see if the rest of them came up. And unfortunately, they didn't. So you have, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, all those things that it, someday, perhaps, the lectionary will have us go through all of them, and I'll get that chance. Or I'll bite the bullet and just drop the lectionary for a little while. But not today. Today, we're looking at something a little darker, and yet at the same time, a little more obvious, perhaps. And it's who gets hurt by sin. And this obviously comes out of our Old Testament lesson, and for that matter, out of our psalm reading parts of Psalm 51. And the two things that we end up looking or seeing is that sin matters. And it matters for all kinds of reasons. A few years ago, a psychiatrist named Menninger wrote a book called Whatever Became of Sin. And he looked at it from the perspective, not of a spiritual or a religious perspective at all, but just what happens to people when sin no longer exists. When you don't have sin, but you have mistakes. Or you have whatever else you want to call it. And his case, in the case that he makes rather compellingly, is that if you don't have sin, you have no way to deal with what went wrong. A mistake is something you correct. It's not something that you use as a catalyst to go and repair a relationship, for example, in the same way. So if sin exists, and I think we can all say that it does, who gets hurt by it? And I've sort of dropped this question here and there in the last little while to various people as I've been thinking about this. And what we tend to get is either this facile, rather superficial, oh, sin hurts God, or sin hurts somebody else, which is what most people first think of. When we commit sin, when we steal from somebody, when we assault somebody, when we do whatever it is, it's someone else. And so those who've been raised in the church always throw in that, well, it hurts God, and then they go on to other things. But I think we need to pay attention to the fact that first and foremost, sin is about something between us and God. And David makes it very clear when he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And he begins there. And until we get a better idea, or until we really internalize this idea that sin is primarily something between us and God, we'll never actually be able to deal with it. Because we need to deal with sin in our lives. Everybody knows that. Even people who don't believe in sin. They might call it something else. But they know that we have to deal with those things in our lives that we've done that we have decided are wrong. Now, in our case, we know that there's an objective measure of right and wrong, and so whether we think it's wrong or not, it just is. But people who don't even believe that will still tell you that when people do things that they themselves consider wrong, something has to happen with that. And that sort of broadens the whole question, or broadens the answer to the question. Because when we begin with the perspective that sin is an offense against God, it hurts God before anything else, it gives us a proper sequence to deal with things in. Because we have to do something with sin. The Lord's Prayer that we recite every Sunday, that many of us recite on a daily basis, the translation we use equates sin as debt. Forgive us our debt. Well, I like that, and it's a direct translation. It's about as close as a one-to-one translation as you can get from one language to another. The Greek word that we translate as debt is the Greek word for debt. Because debts are something that has to be paid. You have to do something with a debt, or something has to be done with it. Perhaps the debt can be forgiven in the financial sense. It doesn't happen all that often with, say, a bank, although it has been known to happen, but something needs to happen there. And so when we begin our understanding that sin is something between us and God, we have to do something about it. We can't just ignore it. And we need to do it in the right sequence, and we need to do all of the things that need to take care of it. And so what we see here is the beginning of a process of David coming to grips with what he's done. And the first thing he says is that I've sinned against the Lord. Because no matter how much we care about someone else that we have hurt, that we've sinned against, we always know at the back of our mind that they're not perfect. And we can frequently come up with some justification, oh, they did that to us, or they did that to somebody else, or whatever else it might be. With God, we know that's not the case. God never deserves in any way, shape, or form. There's no possibility of us rationalizing the fact that God deserves us to sin against him. And so we begin saying that our sin hurts the Lord. And then we can come to him and ask forgiveness. We do that in the prayer of confession, once again, every Sunday, and presumably on our own prayer life. We bring those things that we have done to God, saying, forgive us for this. And we have to start there. But it doesn't end there. Because when we look at the story of David, and we ask who gets hurt by this sin, just using this as a microcosm, considering it involves adultery and murder, maybe a macrocosm, I don't know, but looking at this story as what happened, David says that he sinned against the Lord first and foremost. But who else? Well, obviously Uriah, because he had him murdered. Obviously Bathsheba, because he engaged in adultery with her. I mean, when David called Bathsheba to come to his palace, this wasn't an invitation in the sense that she could decide whether or not she was going to show up. He took advantage of his power as the king to compel her to come over, whether she wanted to or not. So obviously he hurt her. He hurt, as we look down the road, the entire nation of Israel. And as we look to the conclusion of just this story, the boy that was conceived dies. So who gets hurt by sin? Everyone. Everybody. Sin affects everything about us. First, we look at what it does to God and how it affects our relationship there. And then we look at the person who is sinned against. And we see that obviously there's some kind of damage there, whether it's as extreme as what we see in this story, or perhaps as trivial as we might think something is, or someone else might. But it also affects us. Sin doesn't leave anybody out. No one can sin with impunity. No one can knowingly do what they know they shouldn't do and not be affected by it. And when we look at this story, we see these ripples going out from the initial problem. We talked about last Sunday. David not doing what he was supposed to be doing is like dropping a rock in a still pool, and the ripples just go out getting larger and larger and larger and larger and larger. Everyone gets hurt by sin. The people around us who are not directly affected, we think, are still affected. Because when we live lives where we know we have sinned, it changes how we interact with everybody. One of the things that I've run across frequently is in stories or in other people's experience, we tend to be suspicious with other people about the things that we do ourselves or that we're afraid we'll do ourselves. And I can't remember who said it. and I don't know that I'm going to get the quotation exactly right, but it goes something along the lines of, only a liar thinks everyone's lying. And as soon as we move into this sinfulness within us, it colors everything that we see about everybody else. Thieves always think somebody's trying to steal from them. Swindlers, confidence people, always think someone's trying to take advantage of them. It reshapes your worldview into very, very destructive ways. Sin hurts everybody around us. And sometimes the outcomes are catastrophic, as they are in the story of David. But in our own lives, I mean, how big a catastrophe does something have to be for it to be catastrophic? The destruction of a valued relationship because of a sinful choice is a terrible thing. It just is. And when we remember that sin hurts everybody, and when we remember that we need to grapple with sin, we need to do something with it, it's important for us to remember that sin always begins with God. Our first offense is always against God. And that's what we need to deal with first. But it doesn't end there. You can't simply confess your sin to God and not deal with your sin wherever else it might be. Because it still affects that relationship. It affects all of your relationships, and you need to fix them one at a time. But you need to start with your relationship with God. And not just because God's bigger, or not just because He's the one who can, well, as Jesus says, you know, why worry about people on earth when God can put you in hell, to put it sort of as strongly as possible. That's not why. It's because we look at where the damage begins and deal with that first, because that repairs the relationship between God and us to give us the strength, the power, the Holy Spirit's energy within us to then deal with the next part. Dealing with sin is humiliating. It always is. I hate having to do it. That's why I tend to put it off, which makes it worse. Which I know while I'm putting it off, and I still put it off. I don't know what it's just part of human nature, at least my human nature. But why talk about it? Why am I talking about this today? And it's not just because it's the summer. It's not just because it's whatever it might be. It's because we need to remember it. We need to be reminded. Not that this is new to any of us, but we need to be reminded that when we speak sharply, inappropriately to a friend, a family member, that God's involved with that too. And that when we think evil about someone else, even if we never work it out or anything else, that God's involved with that, and so is the other person. And in all of this, it's always us. Sin, if we don't deal with it, just continues to bring hurt everywhere it goes. And we'll see later, when we continue to go through the story of David, the ongoing outcomes of sin. But what we need to never forget is that all through this, David is still characterized as a man after God's own heart. That there's never, ever a sign here that God has turned his back forever on David. Sin hurts God, but not to such an extent that we can't come back into that relationship. We need to deal with these things because that's part of who we are. We need to be in the relationship with God that we've been called to be in. But if we don't begin the process with realizing that God's been injured in this process, in this whole thing, we won't put that work into so we can then repair all our other relationships. Because while it's true that everyone gets hurt by sin, confession and forgiveness can bring healing to everyone as well. not always perfect. Sometimes what's happened creates barriers that we simply can't get past. Sometimes relationships are what appears to be irredeemably damaged with the people around us. It's not the way with God. God forgives. He actually can forget. But with the people around us, we can do everything we can to repair what we've done, because we take seriously what it is, beginning with God and moving to those around us. And we remember that sin hurts everybody, because if we don't remember that, we probably won't deal with it. But when we do remember that and then deal with it, at that point, we can make those repairs. We can be part of the healing process that brings us back into relationship, first with God and then with those around us. Because the great thing about God's plan for us is that sin isn't the beginning and the end. Sin can be just the beginning. So today, I don't have any feeling whatsoever that this is new to anyone, that any of you have unconfessed sin or anything like that. And I did think for a while before, do I want to even bring this up? I thought, yes, we do. We need to be reminded, at least now and then, about how dangerous, how damaging, how comprehensive sin can be. But we do it from the perspective of a forgiving God. We do it from the perspective of redeemed people. Not perfect by any means, but forgiven. Knowing that no matter what sin has done, a gracious and forgiving God can bring healing and wholeness out of it. There is hope when we deal seriously and we deal intentionally with sin, but only if we remember that it exists, that it's more than just a mistake. So I don't know what this brings up in you, if anything. But my encouragement is that if there's anything there, that you'll just talk to God about it and do what needs to be done. It's worth it, painful as it occasionally is, frequently, maybe always is, but it's worth it. Because no matter who gets hurt by sin, God can bring healing and wholeness to all. Amen.